welcome in to another week and another edition of Brewcast. I am Luke Yardy, joined as always by my co-hosts Anthony Broom and Chris Castellani. Big week as we head into the Big Ten tournament. Obviously have to get go through Saturday's game against Michigan State, the regular season finale for the Wolverines. But we're into the month of March now. It's conference tournament time. We've got the big dance coming up. Guys, how are you today? You feeling like spring a little bit? It's feeling like spring up here in the UP. Just got back today. Sun shining, and I'm loving the feeling.
Yeah, right before we recorded here, recording a little bit different this week. The girls did their show on Monday. We're recording here on Tuesday, so probably up Tuesday night, early Wednesday, whenever. But just before I recorded, took the dog for a walk. I was like almost very close to like just opening the windows in the house for just a little bit. It's only 43, but it's sunny out. It's not too cold. I'm digging it. I feel like we're turning a corner here.
Yeah, it's starting to not be so terrible outside. It was really nice today for sure. Yeah, like you said, and I'm not so much opening windows, opening blinds, letting some sun in. It's not bad. We're 9 days away from official spring, which is never actually spring, but still.
Yeah, it's. We never get, first of all, the groundhog always lies, that dirty dog, I swear to God. But yeah, March 21st, never actually spring, but we've got the tournament coming up to kind of ease the pain a little bit, the Big Ten tournament this week. But first, we got to go into Saturday night, obviously. And I'll be honest with you, I'm still pissed off about Saturday night. And me and Anthony, we differ on our opinions on this. Chris, I don't know exactly where you lie, but I think that officiating and free throws is what cost Michigan that game. And I'll explain why, but I'll definitely let Anthony and Chris give their views before I go into it.
Yeah, well, I mean, right off the bat, that game sucked. It was hard to watch, even when they had the lead in the first half. It just kind of felt – it just had a bad feeling throughout the night. And I don't know. That's why I don't like night games, because night games have the potential – like, night games are too close to bed, so then you kind of go to bed pissed off and annoyed and all of that. I will say this, not that I got over the lot, but like Sunday I did some like major retail therapy. Like I dropped way too much money on like vinyl and things like that. And I felt better about myself after that. But I think I've come to the realization that I maybe cursed this team a couple months ago when I said I felt like they were a pretty safe bet to make a deep tournament run. Because quite honestly, they've played like garbage since then.
Yeah, I mean, off and on. As far as Saturday's game, you know, it was – I don't know. On a heartbreak scale of 1 to 10, it's like a 5. But it's just – I don't know, living here – living where I do, you know, the next – like – and working on Saturday and Sunday and just seeing so many people so happy that Michigan State won. It's just miserable.
And you sound so defeated, Chris. It's just
annoying.
It's not a heartbreak. It was a kick in the groin.
Yeah, and maybe that's a better way to put it, because the season's not over, obviously. You know, a new season is beginning very soon, but it's the way they lost it, and obviously losing a really close game at the buzzer might hurt more, but there's something about being demoralized the way that Michigan was in that second half that just really, really stung. And the fact that I think Michigan did so many things right in the first half, as much as I feel like they should have been leading by a lot more at halftime, I'm like, hey, 6-point lead into half. They're playing pretty well. They're hitting their shots. Brad Dacus has been out of his mind. They're playing well. And then the second half, they got down, and then they just kind of got shell-shocked. I mean, there were a lot of factors that played into that. Another thing that's just demoralizing is just when you can't stop a player, which Michigan just wasn't able to do in the second half with Cassius Winston. And it's not like it was somebody who came out of nowhere. I mean, it's the best player in the Big Ten. It's a first-team All-American. But you know, guarding him tight and him just throwing in basically every shot at will. And then ultimately it turns out to basically be a blowout, and you become the victim at that point. You're the team that is there when all MSU seniors are kissing the center court and confetti is dropping and Izzo's crying, and it just sucks. It's just terrible. So, I mean, there's still a lot more basketball left to be played, ideally, or maybe not ideally. We'll see. These two teams could play again on Sunday, and hopefully Michigan would come out on top there. But, yeah, this is a Michigan team that's in a tough spot right now, and I brought up in the video I made on Twitter afterwards is this is a team that is that seems to have a lot of trouble bouncing back after falling behind. Now, they brought this up on the broadcast as well, that this is also a team that, for the most part, does not relinquish leads. But when they get behind, they just seem to freeze, and that's what we saw on Saturday.
So, you know, watching the game in real time, you know, me and Anthony, we disagreed on a couple things on, you know, whether or not. See, here's the thing about, you know, the quote unquote blaming officials thing that I get, and that I see it, and it kind of upsets me sometimes, because there's kind of a stigma that we've created a culture where if you blame the refs, you sound like sour grapes and whatnot. And I get it. Sometimes it is like that. But if you don't believe that officiating can, you know, impact the outcomes of basketball games, I encourage you, if you haven't yet, to go read ESPN's long form article on Tim Donaghy in the NBA, where he made a number of people hundreds of millions of dollars over the course of a decade, because he was alone himself able to impact the outcomes of basketball games. Like, officiating plays a huge role in the way games go, you know, and not even sometimes it's not even an outright thing. It's just, you know, how the flow is interrupted. Maybe some guys pick up some different fouls, but in this situation, it was putting points on the board for Michigan State that they didn't deserve. Michigan came out as hot as possible. Michigan should have went into halftime up 20, at least, at minimum. And you just mentioned it, Chris. Michigan probably isn't going to relinquish a 20-point lead. I don't care if it's at the Breslin Center. I don't care if you're playing the damn Harlem Globetrotters. Michigan probably isn't relinquishing a 20-point lead in the second half to Michigan State. They should have been up 20. The thing that gets me is you had guys that were red hot. Brazdeikis, he was hot. Simpson early on was playing well. Jordan Poole was playing well early in that first half, and they had a good thing. Not only did Brazdeikis have to go to the bench, Simpson had to go to the bench. You know, Brazdeikis played like 7 minutes less than his season average. This Michigan State shot 15 more free throws in the first half than Michigan. To let you know just how ridiculous that might be. So Michigan ranks sixth in the country in personal fouls. Sixth in the country.
I just want to go on the record and say that right now I'm picturing this as like the Charlie It's Always Sunny gif, where he's got the cigarette and he's got the strings on the board and all that.
Pepe Sylvia moment. Yeah.
It's so they average 14 fouls a game. They had 20. On Saturday. Free throws and free throw attempts allowed, they rank seventh in the country in sending their opponent to the line. You want to know how many free throws Michigan opponents average per game? You guys want to take a stab?
This is your argument. I want you to set it all up.
They average 13.9 free throw attempts per game. Michigan State shot 18 in the first half. In the first half, Michigan teams allow 14 free throw attempts per game. Michigan shot 3 free throws in that first half. They were gifting Michigan State points, and that was the only reason. I mean, freaking Foster Lawyer went down like a damn toddler because Xavier Simpson held his hand. Cassius Winston went out of his way to jump into Castleton, who was trying to get out of the way. They called a foul. It was terrible officiating. And don't tell me it was both ways. It wasn't both ways. Michigan was getting screwed. They were getting railroaded. They got jobbed in East Lansing, and it is the only reason that Michigan lost that game. You can tell me all you want about the second half. Yeah, Michigan's offense went cold in the second half. Do you know how difficult it is to play a game where you feel like the officiating is against you? You start questioning every single thing that you do. It's literally like the guy from Remember the Titans, and I understand it's a fictional movie based on a true story, but that's what happens in real athletes in real athletic competitions. If the officiating is not allowing you to do anything, you feel like you're getting jobbed, you're going to start questioning everything you do. And I think that's what happened to Michigan in the second half. It really is. You can't just fight through officiating every single time. It's just not how it works, especially against a top 10 team on the road. It's not going to work like that. So I'm going to stand by it. I don't care how many people tell me, oh, you can't blame the refs, blah, blah, blah.
I'm going to tell you that because this was what this game was. Was a carbon copy. I know there was the foul trouble and the free throw discrepancy. That's fine, and I'll get to that in a second. But this was a carbon copy of what happened at Chrysler. Michigan played well early, and then in the second half, the bottom fell out. And once they went down, they could not come back. Jordan Poole was the worst thing that probably could have happened to Michigan was the fact that he got hot early in that game, because then you see the heat check shots, the bad attempts. Xavier Simpson didn't play well. This team doesn't shoot the basketball well. They were 8 for 22 from 3. You're not – and I know the foul trouble. Listen, you can say that game wasn't called well and still acknowledge that there were other errors in that game. And I'm not saying that officiating didn't play a point. But in every big game that Michigan has ever played, whether it's football, whether it's basketball, whether it's, I don't know, hockey, whatever you want to call it, and every big game they lose, it's, and I'm not putting you in this category of the people. You just say this about this game. The fan base as a whole, which is what I take issue with, is, oh, everyone's out to get Michigan. Blame the refs. Da, 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 blame the refs. Guys, this team does not shoot the ball well. They are not deep. They don't have, they just don't, this is a hero ball team that does not have, you know, a Muhammad Ali Abdur-Rahman, who was a very calming presence on that team last year. They don't have a calming presence. It's very frenetic. It's very panicky. I think when, to a certain extent, when they get pushed around a little bit, I think that they, not that they fold, but, you know, the biggest problem with this team, and one of my biggest takeaways, and it's something that we've seen all year, is that, and Chris, you said this months ago when you said you were worried about this team because they weren't blowing more people out. And I'll fall on the sword. I kind of poo-pooed that. And it looks silly for me to do that now. But the problem with this team is that not only have they had problems finishing teams or blowing out teams or things like that, it's that you get up, you know, what they had a 12-point lead in the first half. You get up to that 12-point lead, and then everything becomes heat check. Let's see if this shot goes in. Let's see if this shot goes in. They don't settle down. They don't run their offense. They stand around. That's my biggest pet peeve of all of it, is they stand around. The ball sticks. Yeah. There's no ball movement. Like, it's okay. Like, the ref, like, listen, a 30-7 free throw attempt discrepancy cannot, should not happen. Even if you, like, there can't be, take the discrepancy out of it. There can't be 40 total free throw attempts in a game like this. You have to let these guys play.
I also want to mention that I hate that people keep telling me that Michigan shoots too many damn jump shots. He was like, that's what I heard from someone. They're saying Michigan, you know, settled for too many threes. That's why they didn't go to the free throw line. Michigan State shot the exact same number of threes on Saturday.
That's fine. Like, this is the thing that kills me. After, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, when people say, oh, this is a Michigan basketball team that, oh, you know, they're going to live by the three or die by the three. If they don't hit their shots, they're not going to win games. That is BS, because they've been winning the exact opposite of that for the better part of the last two and a half years. So that old bit of, oh, well, if they don't hit their shots, they're not going to win games. I think that.
Right. That one's tired. That's very tired.
The official, like, I posted this from the Mason Brew account. I think it was just after the half. It's like, this is a championship game. I know it's regular season. I know it's, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it maybe doesn't mean all that much, but this is a championship game. This game is not about you, refs. It's not about you. People didn't pay, you know, tickets were going $180 just to get in the door to see that game. Nobody paid to go see that. So the issue I have with Big Ten officials is not how this game played out for Michigan on Saturday. I think Big Ten officiating is some of the worst at any level of any sport that there is. It's garbage. But I'm not good. And this is an old bit too. But good teams find ways to fight through that. Good teams don't go 6 or 7 minutes without scoring points. That is the most disturbing thing to me out of all of it.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
But then, so Michigan State would have done that too, though. Michigan State would have went that long, if not longer, without scoring points had they not been gifted free throws. Like, if Michigan gets the same opportunity to go to the line as Michigan State did on Saturday night, they don't go long without scoring points. That's my point.
Where I sort of, and I respectfully take issue with that, because this is me, like, this is galaxy brain me going, like, well, if one thing happens, it sets, like, if they don't take a free throw or a possession ends up differently, that sets off, you know, string theory and whatnot of all these different possible futures and all these different, you know, possible outcomes based on just one whistle not being blown. So, like, it's not – that's why I don't go, like, oh, you know, if – that's why I can't
– I mean, I would say probably 8 because that was the foul discrepancy, but I understand.
That's why I can't just straight up say – oh, well, you know, Michigan only had 5 free throws made. Michigan State had 23 made. That's an 18-point difference. You take that away, Michigan wins by whatever it is, 6. So I can't.
Right, and I get that, but Michigan dominated for the first, you know, whatever, sure, however, 18 minutes maybe before State went on a little run. But they were only in that game because of the free throws and the foul discrepancy. Like, that's the only reason.
Fouls and the way the game was called kept Michigan State in the game. But you cannot deny that Michigan –
they played like shit in the second half, no doubt.
When you go and you give them all – mind you, this is one of the best defensive teams in college basketball. When you give up 46 points and a half – free throws or not, that's unacceptable. It just is. So you can – I have no issues with factoring in the way that game was officiated. Did it affect them? Yeah, it did. And you did see there was a little bit of a change in body language and things like that. I get their kids, but this is college basketball in March. And we'll talk about Big Ten tournament and the outlook for March and things like that. But this late in the year – with the expectations of what was on the line, I expected them to be more ready to overcome adversity at this point in the year, which is what bothers me the most, more than anything, coming out of that game on Saturday. And Michigan State deserves all the credit in the world. This is one of the best coaching jobs that Tom Izzo has ever done. Cassius Winston might has an argument for maybe being the best point guard in the country. He's been that good in both games that they played against Michigan. He's been a difference maker, and, you know, a couple of times leaving Kenny Goins open, and Xavier Tillman, what a way for that kid to step up too. Like, that team deserves credit, and I'm not going to be, you know, sour grapes, and I'm not saying you guys are either, but I'm not going to be the sour grapes, you know, analyst, fan, whatever you want to call it, that just because it's Michigan State, you're going to pout and do all this. Like, they deserve credit because they've played very well in both of those games. It's disappointing. But it is what it is.
I feel like we haven't heard from Chris. I apologize, Chris. It's
no, I mean, I,
yeah.
No, dude. To be honest, I just, like, I don't really have that much to say. I don't. I just wish they would have played better, and that sounds really simple. But what bothers me the most is you brought up body language, but yeah, the kind of mental makeup of this team just does not seem very strong. And I think last year it was. And I brought this up on Twitter as well, where you look at a lot of last year's games, you know, both Michigan State games, they were losing for, it seemed, a large portion of those games. A couple of the tournament games they played, they were losing by a lot, including, you know, obviously Houston's the standout. But what, they were down like 10 to Chicago Loyola with like 15 minutes left. You know, there were a lot of games last year where they were able to kind of scratch and claw their way back. And Dan Dockich, I know everyone hates him, but he brought up some really good points on Saturday where he's like, last year they had Duncan Robinson who could shoot him out of it. They had Rockman who could shoot him out of it. They had Mo Wagner who could do everything, include shoot him out of it. They don't have that guy on this year's team.
Well, let me ask you real quick about that, because I wanted to ask you guys that. Could Charles Matthews, when he comes back, maybe be that guy after a little reset?
I don't know, but it depends on what Charles Matthews shows up. He can be.
If West Region MVP Charles Matthews shows up, that's a game changer.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, because when I think shoot him out of it, I think a guy who's going to be able to make threes, and I don't look at Charles Matthews as being that guy. And I was really disappointed with, and well, this is still a fairly young team. You could be young and experienced in college basketball, meaning, you know, you could be underclassmen but still have played in some big, meaningful games. And that's what pretty much everyone on this team has. And I thought some of the guys who by the definition of this year's fairly young team are some of the more experienced really came up short on Saturday. Isaiah Livers was awful. He just completely shut him down, could not get his shot going. And look, I like Jordan Poole. I think we all like Jordan Poole. He'll always be a part of Michigan lore, but I'm going to be honest, this year, he's been good, but he's been a bit of a disappointment. I'm going to be honest, I thought coming into this season, and this is me probably being naive and maybe overdoing it with the expectations, but I thought that Jordan Poole would play one more year at Michigan and then go pro after this season. Like, I thought he would just take that huge extra step, be an all Big Ten type of player and go pro, and he hasn't. He's not good defensively, and he just goes away for long stretches. And you look at Brodzdakis, who's somebody who has at points struggled a lot this year, but very rarely have I seen Brodzdakis not trying to create without the ball in his hands. He's constantly moving. He's constantly trying to get the ball. Sometimes he's a bit reckless. Sometimes he forces shots, but he's always moving. What I saw on Saturday when Brodzdakis was on the bench, and your number one guy needs to be Jordan Poole. He needs to be the scorer, and he wasn't moving. You had Simpson standing at the top of the key holding the ball, or not holding the ball, but dribbling the ball. And so I'm not going to say, you know, oh, they lost because of him, but I think there needs to be a little bit more accountability there. We've seen a lot of improvement from a lot of guys on this team, but one of the big scorers, or one of the guys that we really expected, or at least that I expected, was going to be the big guy to step up and be the kind of the go-to scorer, which was Poole, has gone away at some really important points this year. He's played really bad in both games against Michigan State.
Well, the regular season, it wraps up. It's going to conclude with Michigan being the number 3 seed in the Big Ten tournament, which is coming up this week. Michigan not playing until Friday here in Indianapolis. But let's talk about the Big Ten tournament after this on Brewcast.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we're back on Brewcast, ready to talk a little bit about the Big Ten tournament, which is coming up here this week. It's going to be in Indy. Anthony, he's going to be down in Indy, actually. He'll have coverage for you, but it's actually...
Wait, isn't it in Chicago?
Or Chicago, wow. Yeah, I apologize.
It should be. Listen, the Big Ten tournament should always be in Indy, but
I think I got thrown off because of Dockich's tweet. I don't know if you. I don't know.
Probably. I think the women's. I think the women's tournament's okay. In Indy too. So.
I got you. Because well, I saw his. It was like it's a beautiful day here in Indy. Like the Big Ten tournament should be here every year. So that's where I got thrown a little bit. But it's in Chicago, which now makes a whole lot more sense because we had to schedule. So my radio station, we do Michigan State games on one of our stations, and the Big Ten tournament. I was looking at the schedule to schedule them. And on the Big Ten site, it's Central Time, but I didn't realize it because I thought it was in Indianapolis, which I believe is still Eastern Time Zone. Correct? Do you guys know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was like,
I think most parts of it are.
What's that?
I think most parts of it are. I think there is a part of Indiana that's
no Indianapolis. I meant, I believe it's Eastern Time Zone. Yeah, so I was like, why are the games in Central Time Zone if it's in Indy? But if it's in Chicago, that's good. But you're taking the train down to Chicago. Well, beginning on Wednesday, we've got Nebraska, Rutgers, and Northwestern Illinois. But looking at this Big Ten tournament, I do kind of like Michigan's draw. And actually, Bart Torvik, he's got Michigan having the best odds by a decent margin to actually win the Big Ten tournament once again because it's a pretty good draw. The best team you're going to face is an Iowa team who is – just not playing good basketball right now.
Go ahead, Chris.
Well, no, I mean, you're right. That's an understatement. I think Iowa is not just developing a reputation, but has now the reputation of being a team that has collapsed pretty spectacularly over the last couple seasons under McCaffrey. They get off to a hot start, they're ranked, and then they just fall apart. Michigan has the possibility of playing three different teams in that first game. Northwestern, who I think has probably gotten worse since the beginning of the year when Michigan almost lost to them, and that was in Evanston. Illinois, who's a team that I kind of liked there for a while, but has it kind of stumbled down the stretch and got killed by Penn State in their last game. So, I mean, I think whoever Michigan plays in their first game, they should beat. It is March. It is the Big Ten tournament. You don't know what'll happen. I agree. I think their draw is as good as anyone's. You look at Michigan State, who probably, as far as seeding, will have the easiest draw, but they're also going to have the possibility of having to play an Indiana team again who beat them twice. So it lines up well for Michigan. With the way that they've played in this tournament the last couple years, it really doesn't matter who's on the schedule, but we'll see. Yeah, I think it's a big opportunity for this team. You know, there's a lot of goals that they aren't going to be able to reach. They didn't win the regular season Big Ten Big Ten championship. They aren't going to get a one seed, but this is their an opportunity to really kind of boost their resume and get some confidence going into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, you know, with a good showing too, you're probably looking at this team. Maybe, you know, if they go out and win it, maybe they can get back on that two seed line, which would be cool. Because right now, I think they're kind of in that three to four range. Yeah, it's one of those things where I'm interested. I've said this a few times the last few weeks where I feel like if this team is going to get going, that it'll be in one of those situations where they have to play a couple games in a couple days. Because there have been some long layoffs. I mean, before they played Michigan State, it was 6 days off, you know, between that and the Maryland game. Now it's another 6 days off before they play again. And the thing that's interesting is that, you know, they go from – if they had won at Michigan State, they were going to play at noon or 12:30 on Friday. But now they are going to play in the last game of the night, which is probably going to be about 9:30 Eastern time. And then if they win that game, they're going to have to play again at 2:30 on Saturday. So quick turnaround there. That could stink. That certainly is not ideal. You know, we'll see. I think the intrigue there is that I believe if they win, so there's a three seed. So if they win, potentially sets up a matchup with Purdue, having only seen them once this year, which could be interesting. Wouldn't shock me at all to see Michigan in the final. It wouldn't shock me at all to see Michigan and Michigan State in the final. It wouldn't shock me at all if Michigan State wasn't even in the final. So a lot of things, it wouldn't shock me at all if, you know, Michigan came out on Friday. And quite frankly, nothing would shock me is what I'm trying to say. I would be interested to see, like, if it is Iowa or whomever, if Charles Matthews would be back. I would assume so, because I don't think at this point one day would make a whole lot of difference. I think I know that. I think the one thing about this team, and I, you know, it's there are good guys in that group, and they're obviously coach very well. But I throughout the year, I sort of getting this, I sort of got this vibe that they felt like they were just going to be able to flip the switch at some point, and that never happened. So I'm wondering what the sense of urgency is going to be like if this group mails it in. I want to see some heart from this group. I want to see some fire because, you know, regardless of how this year ends, most of them will be back next year. I think outside of Charles Matthews, I mean, I wouldn't surprise me to see Brazdeikis go pro, but if he doesn't, then it's pretty much everyone's back. So at this point, I don't want to say, you know, I don't need to see Eli Brooks out there. I'd like to see David DeJulius, Colin Castleton, Brandon Johns, those guys just kind of doing those things or doing the thing. Maybe get them ready for the NCAA tournament. Because right now, I mean, I know that the expectation to me is still that you need to play 4 tournament games. Like, that is where my expectations for this season have not changed in that regard. But if you had to put a gun to my head right now, I feel like this is a team that maybe could get bounced in the Sweet 16. I still think they're good enough to get through that first weekend. But I just want to see if there's any shot that they can start to get this thing rolling here. It'll be interesting. You know, this Big Ten tournament has a lot of intrigue to it. I wouldn't even be surprised to see a team like Maryland just kind of go on a little run.
That's what I wanted to ask you guys, because obviously Michigan the last 2 years, they didn't get the double bye. They were an 8 seed in 2017, last year a 5 seed. So neither year they got the double bye, ended up winning. But before that, looks like the lowest seed to win was number 6 in 2001. That was anything out of the top 3 seeds. So who is like a team this year? You guys just mentioned Maryland. You think they're the biggest chance of a dark horse to go out and win this thing amongst the teams that are going to play on Thursday night?
Who's the 4 seed again?
Wisconsin.
Okay. Wisconsin is interesting to me, but obviously that doesn't fit that criteria. Let me pull up the standings here. I mean,
so you got Indiana, Ohio State, winner takes Michigan State. Maryland takes on Nebraska, Rutgers, and they'll take on Wisconsin. Penn State takes on Minnesota, winner plays Purdue. And then Iowa takes on Northwestern, Illinois, winner plays Michigan.
You know what? You want to hear something weird? I wouldn't surprise me to see Minnesota make a little bit of noise. Just a little bit of noise. I think that you said they're playing Penn State.
I was actually looking at Penn State, man, because I feel like they've been playing better, haven't they? Like they're into the top 40 on KenPom right now.
Are they really?
Yeah, they're number 39 on KenPom.
Huh. And they're 14-17.
Yeah.
So that's what makes metrics so interesting to me. I don't understand how that works, but
like for comparison, Minnesota's number 46 in KenPom.
Well, it's a good conference too. I mean, I can't really downplay that either. Like, this is top to bottom. I mean, even, you know, for as much crap as Rutgers has gotten over the years, I think that's a program that's sort of laying in the weeds and, you know, is still maybe a couple years away, but I think they've improved. And,
yeah, they're getting better.
Northwestern wasn't very good, but gave Michigan a fight. Nebraska, that was an interesting team to me because it seems like there are a lot of years recently where people come into the season going, "Uh-oh, watch out for Nebraska. That's a team that can make some noise in the Big Ten," and they're the 13th seed.
they completely fell apart this year.
Which I actually kind of enjoy because their fan base was absolutely just it was so bad on Twitter last year. They were, oh my god, I couldn't handle them. It was too much. So it's kind of
the way they talked about that new arena when it opened. You would have thought that going to play at Nebraska was like going to Cameron Indoor, or
right?
Something. It's like,
and also, chill, and you want to talk about disappointing? I feel like Northwestern easily the biggest disappointment of the Big Ten this year. The last seed for Northwestern.
Coming off
them in Nebraska.
It was last year they made the tournament, wasn't it?
Two years ago.
Okay, yeah, I just remember because Julia Louis-Dreyfus' kid played for the team. But I don't. God, Northwestern, Chicago's Big Ten team. Wonder what kind of crowd they're going to have there this weekend. That should be interesting. By the way, sort of off topic. So when I went to I was in Chicago in August, saw a concert at Wrigley, but like the day after, kind of drove down by Lake Michigan, like over by where Northwestern's new football facility is. Holy hell, is that ever sweet? Like, I don't know how that's going to pay dividends for them. Yeah, it's this all glass building that's literally right on the beach, right on Lake Michigan. Like, through the practice field, you could like look out and see the lake. It looks sweet. So I don't know how that'll work, but it's also weird. Like, I guess there are a lot of, that was the first time I've ever been around Northwestern's like athletic facilities. That's kind of off the beaten path a little bit, closer to campus and things like that. The football stadium, Ryan Field, is like literally like right in the middle of a neighborhood. Like you're driving through houses and then the football field is there. Which is kind of, I guess the big house is sort of like that too, but this is even a little more insulated. It's pretty cool. I like, it's a cool college town. I dig it.
Never been to Evanston.
Same here. I can't really comment on it.
Do you, where is it? So that's, it's north side of Chicago?
Yeah, that's like, I'm trying to remember how, it's probably 10 minutes north of, 10, 15 minutes north of Wrigleyville and all that stuff. So not too
Man,
bad.
I would like to make it there. It looks cool. Stadium looks so small though, like on TV.
It's very
I don't know
small.
If
it is felt it? Like okay. It felt sort of like not this is not quite to this extent, but have you ever been to a Reinerson Field where Eastern Michigan plays football?
I have not.
Okay, it's like I sort of got that type of vibe. Obviously, it's a little bit bigger.
It looks like a big high school stadium. You know what I'm saying? Like almost like it, like an East, like an East Kentwood or something like that.
It does kind of have that feel to it. It's funny too. No security around there. Like actually, shout out Vaughn Lozon. Vaughn was with me, and we literally just walked through the gates like right into the stadium. And there's just nobody, nobody around
or anything.
No, nope. Just walked right in. Nothing was going on. It was the middle of August, but
that's still funny though. Like nothing was. All right, that I respect that.
I was waiting for like the remember from Rudy how like the groundskeeper like caught him sneaking in the stadium. I was waiting for something like that, but I'm like, oh, we're in Evanston, not South Bend. So
yeah. Anthony was looking to walk on.
No. My football playing days ended in. Well, they ended before they started, but 11th, 12th grade was where I peaked.
Yeah. Oh, man. So what do we got? Michigan is going to be – so it's a late one. So you got your wish, Anthony. I know you're very excited to go and cover that late game on Friday.
Oh, my God. By the way, before I get into that, so I just Googled it. Evanston is about 14 miles north of, like, the heart of downtown Chicago, which I consider like Navy Pier, Shedd Aquarium, all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
In rush hour traffic, seeing as we're recording during rush hour right now, it'll take you 45 minutes to go 13 and a half miles. So gotta love city traffic. I'm cool with the suburbs, but yeah. So this is how that Friday is going to go for me, which looking forward to Big Ten tournament because, you know, not like should run into some decent people. Hopefully pull some, you know, not to tease too much, but hopefully pull a few guests for the pod. First time I've ever gone to a conference tournament or anything like that. But my train leaves Dearborn at 6:50 a.m. It's going to get to Chicago around 10:30 a.m. Chicago time. And in my brain, I'm thinking, hell yeah, this is going to work out great. Michigan's going to win the Big Ten. They'll play in that first game on Friday. I'll be able to just get off the train and go right to the United Center. But now I have about 10 hours to kill, and I can't check into the hotel until 3 o'clock. So we'll see what kind of content I come up with out of that. I don't know.
It's going to be fun, though, man. What are you going to be you gonna test out the Chicago nightlife? What do we got going on here? What are the thoughts? What are
the
plans? I've
been to Chicago several times at this point.
Well, I meant, you know, test it out for
right.
content.
Content,
you know what
wise,
I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm going to try and put together some sort of guide of, like, if you're a Michigan fan going to Chicago, or because there are a ton of Michigan fans in Chicago, but I'm going to try and put together, like, a guide of things like that. There are 5 U of M Alumni Association bars in Chicago. I think I'm going to try to hit most of, if not all of those, and kind of review those and Maybe do something on that. Other than that, like, I don't really, it depends on what Michigan does, because if they go out and they lay an egg and lose on Friday night, I think people are going to kind of check out, and I might check out. So it may just become kind of a lost weekend for me, but, we'll see. It should be cool.
Would it be lost though for you? Like, say they do lose Friday night, you're not going to let it go to waste, are you?
Wise, but, I'll just say I might go off the grid a little bit is all I'm trying to say. So,
it is going to be a fun weekend though for you, man.
I just wish it was a little closer to baseball season, because Wrigley Field is amazing. It's so good.
The best. But,
yeah, be cool. I've never been to the United Center, so just to see that should be pretty neat. I don't know. I'll come up with something. I'm still kind of working on the plan. I'm sort of going to be one man showing all of this. So, but I don't want to just do like game stories and things like that. I want to be able to I want people to be interested in what.
Bring the weekend to life, man. Bring the weekend to life. You know what I'm saying?
It's also St. Paddy's Day weekend in Chicago. So, who even knows?
Wait, when is your train come back? That is the question to ask.
At 5:50 p.m. on Sunday. So,
oh boy.
But again, if Michigan's playing on Sunday, they're going to play at 2:30 Chicago time, and I might be cutting that a little close. Oof. We'll play that by ear. That's all I'll say about that. But yeah, we'll see. It should be cool. If they don't, maybe we'll get to see that river turn green and all that stuff that people always talk about. Never really been a huge, go out and do stuff on St. Paddy's Day type of guy. But if you're there and you got nothing else to do, we'll see.
Well, we've got, let's go ahead. We'll wrap up our Big Ten tournament talk. We'll pick winners. We've got a couple of football tidbits to get to when we come back after this. Back in here on Brewcast, where we are wrapping up our Big Ten tournament talk. I'm Luke Chiari, along with Anthony Bruma and Chris Castellani. And with the Big Ten tournament coming up here this week, well, guys, you know, we talked about it. We said what we think Michigan could do, maybe gave some dark horses. Now it's just time to put it all on the line. You know, who was it? Chris? Was it Chris last year that did pick Michigan? I think I picked Purdue last year. And one of you two, it might have been Anthony, might have been Chris. I can't remember which one. One of you guys went on a limb. You pick Michigan, and kudos to
you. I didn't even realize that we're coming up on a year of the three of us doing this show, which this might be
kind of crazy to think about
in terms of Big Ten tournament.
It's really.
I think it might be a year anniversary.
Let's pop the bottles now and just call it what it is. Happy anniversary, guys.
Yeah, it's been a heck of a year, you know. Looking forward to another good one.
We've grown, here's matured, we've become better people for it. Maybe that's not true, but it's been fun. I don't remember if I picked Michigan last year to win the Big Ten tournament. I feel like I probably did. I'm not confident in this. I may have been the only one of the three of us too. I don't remember.
It was only one of them. Is only one of us, and I know for sure it was not me.
I will say this. Tournament prediction stuff last year in terms of what Michigan would do, I thought they would win the national title, so I came within a game of that. I was actually pretty hot in March, so that's toot my own horn for something that happened a year ago. But I have no idea what to
do it again, man.
So I can't even
put the good juju back in the air, man.
There has to be good juju around them. The one thing I can say about this is the strangest, and in some ways might be the strangest year of the Beeline era, is that we'll take out that year where they went 11-20 or something like that. We'll take that out of the mix because that was just a lost year all around. But I feel like in most every other year, we've gone into March with some optimism, or how when the brackets come out, it's always people look at their bracket, see Michigan, and go, oh, you know what? I think I see a path for them to get to the Final Four. I don't know if I could do that this year. It seems like every Beeline team, and that's on not every Beeline team people were predicting go to the Final Four. But I just feel like that air of optimism, that air of, oh, you know, if things break right, you never know. I don't feel that this year. But again, it's if you're going to ask me to pick a team who's going to win the Big Ten tournament right now, I know Michigan State could maybe see Indiana again, but Indiana is not going to beat them a third time. And I think that they are they might have the most momentum of any of those teams right now in this conference. So I think I'll go at Michigan State. I don't like that pick. I'm not confident about it. But my gut says that Michigan State will wind up winning the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, it's kind of a generic pick. I think it'll be Michigan and Michigan State in the finals again, and kind of a parallel to what the 2014 season, except flipped, where Michigan swept them in the regular season, and then Michigan State won in the Big Ten tournament, except the difference here is I just think MSU's got Michigan's number this year. It might be a closer game, but I think Michigan State beats Michigan a third time and wins the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah. It will be interesting to see, like, if they get Nick Ward back, how that changes things, because then you're kind of messing with what I think has been a good thing right now.
Yeah.
In terms of how Xavier Tillman's played, how Kenny Goins has played really throughout the year period. But that's an interesting aspect of it as well. So
yeah, I agree with you guys on the winner. I think Michigan State's going to win. So yeah, this is a lovely Michigan podcast. All three of us picking Michigan State to win the Big Ten tournament.
We were just beaten down into submission like 4 days.
Right. So. It might be recency bias, but also the number one seed in the Big Ten tournament. But I don't think they beat Michigan. I actually think Michigan. I feel like this is a team that's kind of just demoralized right now. I think they get knocked off by Purdue in the semifinal, even though I think Michigan's a much better team than Purdue. I just don't think I feel like the magic's not there. I don't even know if this Michigan team's like having a lot of fun playing right now. So I think Michigan's actually going to get bounced in the semis by Purdue, and I think Michigan State gets some revenge on Purdue for what Purdue was able to do to them down at Purdue, and I think Michigan State is your Big Ten tournament champion. It's going to be a good tournament, though, I think.
Yeah, it should be fun. Listen, I know it's the joke, like, oh, it's a Michigan podcast. None of you picked Michigan. It's like, we're just being real. Like, if nothing else, you can depend on us for that.
And the thing is, like, I think Michigan is going to be just fine in the NCAA tournament. Like, they're top 20 in adjusted offense, adjusted defense. They didn't lose a single non-conference game this year. And they're not going to have to deal with Big Ten officiating. I think that's going to help Michigan tenfold.
Well, be careful what you wish for there.
Are you allowed? I thought that the officiating crews, like, they couldn't be from the conference. I could be wrong on that, though.
No, I'm just saying, like, officiating in general.
Oh yeah, it could get official. could get Pac-12 officials, and that might even be worse, to be quite honest with you.
I'm looking at KenPom right now. I'm actually surprised Michigan's 18th in adjusted
Michigan
offense.
Michigan went up in adjusted offense after the state game, and I believe also in adjusted defense. I think they went from 3-2 in adjusted D as well.
Yeah, how does that work? I don't get that. Like,
only Ken Pomery knows.
Probably a lot of it probably has to do with teams behind them did.
That's true. I don't know. If anyone out there can explain this to me, like, I'm willing to like sit on the phone for a while and like talk this out. Cause maybe that's a little narrow minded of me being someone who like covers a team and runs a website. But once you get into the KenPom stuff and I get adjusted offense, adjusted defense. And a lot of times those teams at the top are the ones that end up playing it in the end, and in that regard I think KenPom does a great job, but I just don't get it. Like, I'd love to be educated on that is what I'm trying to say.
I don't know if I'm good enough at math to get educated on it, to be quite honest with you. Like, he could sit me down and explain it, I'd be like, I've got literally no idea what you're saying right now, man.
Yeah, and I think basketball is an interesting sport, because I think in a lot of ways basketball is the most black and white sport there is in terms of what determines whether you win or lose and things like that. Whereas baseball, there are so many factors at play. Football, obviously, so many factors at play. Hockey, you know, one bounce of the puck could determine something differently. Like basketball to me, like there's always going to be upsets and stuff, but at the end of the day, more often than not, most of the best teams are going to be there at the end. That's why people complain about the NBA. Oh, it's the same teams every year in the NBA, but like, that's just the sport that basketball is. Like if you had, you know, if Duke and Kentucky had their guys staying every year for 2 years, like, yeah, they'd probably always be there at the end. So that's just kind of the sport that it is. And that's why I do like how chaotic college basketball is, because there is so much turnover and it adds a bit of unpredictability to a sport that's otherwise, you know, predicated on just who's got the better team or not.
Yeah, and you know, obviously in a single game tournament you are going to get some upsets, but like you said, I mean, the sample size for like hockey, you know, one goal could be a difference, whereas because it could be like a 1-0 game, a 2-1 game, anything like that, whereas there's so many baskets made in basketball that like the sample size grows and it's harder for a team to upset someone, but we see it every year, which is what makes this month so magic. But We'll have to see it.
Also, real quick, shout out to Wofford, number 18, the ranked team in Kemba.
Ballin.
Wofford was always the team I picked in the career mode of like the college basketball video game, when you had to pick a bad school and then build them up and then, you know, get your next job and all that. It was always Wofford. And you turn the sliders all the way down. You turn the bench sliders all the way up, so you're never using your bench. And you're just playing slug about like 44-40 basketball. Like, yeah, that's my shit right there.
Which, by the way, we could see coming back. I don't know if you saw that, but they're looking to pass a bill. Looks like it even is even going to be like bipartisan and everything, that will prevent the NCAA from preventing athletes to be able to make money off their name and likeness, and that would open the door for NCAA games to come back.
Yeah, I mean, without turning this into a pay the player stuff, like that's for another show, and I really don't have much.
This is just like you can sign autographs. No,
that's
and,
what I'm saying. Like yeah, the solution to all this is you don't pay them and you just let them profit off their likeness. Like that's how it goes. Like there you go. Is it fair if you know is it fair that Donovan Peoples Jones makes more money than Jake Moody?
In this country, it is, right?
If Donovan Peoples Jones has a brand and Jake Moody doesn't, shout out both guys. Have respect for both.
Aren't we a capitalistic country?
Like, last I checked, like I don't know, it's fair to me because you can't just pay people and then gut the other programs, because then you lose the other programs, and I don't know. That seems like the quickest way to do it, and I think that. You know, anything that makes, without going into politics, anything that's a bipartisan, anything that has bipartisan support is generally speaking a pretty good idea. So I'm all for it.
And also, if 2K were to make like something similar of NBA 2K for like the NCAA, oh my, I'd lose my mind. Oh, yeah. It would be so amazing. I don't trust EA Sports because Madden is just so trash these days, like to make a good football game. But if like I would trust 2K to make a good NCAA football game or something like that, just bring it back, man. This is what I want. You did it to me with doing the Wofford thing. You know, I'm just like, oh, I want to go do that right now, but I can't because I can't say what I want to say because of the new arrangement, but you know how it goes.
You can do whatever you want if you have a PS3 and a copy of, you know, College Hoops 2K6 or whatever.
Yeah, I don't have the College Hoops. I got like the NCAA football games, and I went back this summer and I played, and it was quite a bit of fun. But I actually won the Heisman with Tony Poljan, so that's how realistic that game is.
nobody outside of the three of us knows who that even is. But that's funny. It's funny. Yep. I used to do that too, where you turn CMU into like the Boise State of the Midwest, and then they join the Big Ten and they're kicking the hell out. Ohio State's coming up to Mount Pleasant for a Saturday night tilt. It's
well,
it's hilarious.
I think that's about all we got for today, right? Headed to the Big Ten tournament. We got NCAA tournament next week. I can't wait for that. I mean, we're going to be breaking down Michigan's road because Selection Sunday coming up this Sunday already. So we've got a big one coming up next week. Anthony's going to have a lot of stuff from Chicago in the Big Ten tournament next week. But unless you guys have anything to add. Well, actually, yeah, Anthony, no, I think this would probably be a good time to get your message out there. About SoundCloud.
What was my message again? Oh, yeah. Okay, so people that have listened to the show on SoundCloud, I'll have to record something separate to post just to SoundCloud, but you will not be able to get us directly on SoundCloud anymore. We switched over to a new server, a new host, if you will. Nothing changes. If you have us, if you're subscribed to us on iTunes or Google Play or any of that stuff, wherever you get your podcasts, you're still going to get us. But the SoundCloud only people are going to have to find other ways, and there are plenty of other ways. The player that we have now is through Megaphone. That'll show up on the website. If basically what I'm saying is, if you get our show through the website, nothing will change. But if you have the SoundCloud app and that's what you use to listen to us, which I don't know if there are many people for that, you're going to have to find other ways. But like you said, we're on Spotify, on iTunes, Google Play, all of that. And if there's anywhere that you'd like to be able to access the show outside of SoundCloud, let me know, because I can probably set that up. But just a little PSA here at the end of the show as we make our way to, obviously you're going to notice ad breaks and things like that in here now. Part of the SB Nation podcasting network, nothing really changes other than a couple ads here and there in the show. So hopefully nothing changes, but just wanted to throw that out there. Thank you.
Absolutely. So, well, Chris, let us know where we can find you.
All right, you can find me on Twitter. That's at Castellani2014. That's at CastellaniI2014. There you'll find the link to my YouTube page as well. I just posted a movie review for Captain Marvel. You can find me on Snapchat. My Snapchat handle is the same as my Twitter. And if you want to see my ugly mug on Instagram, you can. That's ChrisCastle95. That's ChrisCastle95. Go ahead and give me a follow on all those platforms. I'd much appreciate it.
Anthony?
Follow me on Twitter, Anthony T. Broom. Anthony T. Broom. God, slow down, kid. follow my work. NFL free agency kicked into high gear on Monday. Could follow all of my work and all that stuff at 24/7 Sports. Follow the website at Maize and Brew. I'll do everything I can to scrounge up some decent content for the weekend.
Well, you can find me on Twitter at Luke Ghiardi, LukeGhiardi. Follow the Brewcast show page, and we're on Facebook, and always make sure you check out mazeandbrew.com. We've got great articles going for you all day, every day at mazeandbrew.com. So for Chris Castellani and Anthony Broom, I am Luke Ghiardi. I am not Anthony Broom. I'm Luke Ghiardi. We'll be back.
Whoa.
We'll be back with another episode of Brewcast next week following the Big Ten tournament. Hopefully it's a good one. We'll see you then.